Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. What a great opportunity to get to talk with Cardinal Burke about this very, very beautiful new undertaking. And now, as promised, we're going to talk about Catholic education. And if you want to talk about Catholic education, if you want to talk about the big kind of the challenges facing a Catholic education, but also what a gift Catholic education can be when undertaken in the spirit of sharing the good news and forming minds, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We had the great pleasure of meeting and having lunch with Kyle Washed, I guess it was a couple months ago here at Catholic Answers, and we had an opportunity to do a podcast interview, and just really wanted to get him on the live show so that you could ask your questions. Wyoming Catholic College seems like they're doing wonderful things up there, and president of Wyoming Catholic College, Kyle Washed, welcome.
Thanks for having me back on, Cy.
Yeah, it's very nice to have you. I'm you're missing something. Do you? No, I can see your hair this time. Last time,
oh,
I believe you.
I'm not wearing my hat. I'm so sorry.
I think of you as the Catholic college president with the cowboy hat, and then you show up without the cowboy hat. What's the point?
It's hanging on my wall, and I wore the bolo tie.
Have the bolo tie. Okay, fair enough. Yes, and I'm dressed exactly as I dress every day for the show, by the way. I always have a coat and tie on. It's not just because there was a cardinal here today. That's all a lie. So one of the things we got to talk with you about when we spoke to you before was the no cell phones policy, but that's part of a kind of wider philosophy that you have about Catholic education. It's part of a wider understanding of what the challenges are. And I know you did a recent interview where you said that distraction and low expectations are the plagues of Catholic education right now. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So let's hit distraction first, right? The average Generation Z student, so somewhere between 17 and 23 years old, the average young person is spending 7 hours a day on either Instagram or TikTok or instant messaging. So when we talk about distraction, they're just buffeted with these short sound bites, really quick, really short, addictive, dopamine-inducing pieces of information to get them constantly jumping from here to the next thing. So utter distraction. And at the same time, we're also telling them the world is really broken and they're victims of that brokenness, and there's really nothing they can do about it, that they're victims and that they can't respond to the inherent injustices that are built into society. They can ask for changes, but that's about it. And so we are constantly figuring out ways to reduce messaging that tells them that there are standards that they're not living up to, or that pushes them or gives them opportunities to try and then fail, because we want to protect them in some way. And so we have this hyper-protected mentality that we're offering framing education with. We're distracting them, allowing them to be distracted on their smartphones, and then telling them that the world's broken and they really can't fix it. And so that drives them back into this distraction and consoles them with the low expectations and the protection from failure that they're getting. All in all, if you think about that, when you're a young person who wants to be told, hey, this is a time for heroism, this is a time for you to step up, and instead we're saying, please don't pay attention to the world around you, it's really depressing, and we want to shelter you from any misfortune, that seems like we're just failing the chance to really meet our young people where they want to be met and lift them up to where they want to be through education.
So how do you go about remedying that? I mean, in particular at Wyoming Catholic College, but also just in general, what do you see as the remedy for that Catholic education can offer?
Sure. So let's say in general, I think, obviously, I love what we're doing at Wyoming Catholic College. I think what we're doing is innovative and really important. But I also tell people as I go around talking about the college that the thing we're doing is a type or a version of the kind of thing that needs to be offered across the board for our young people. And that includes these several facets. On the first, just put down the phones. Take some kind of a fast from this inundating call of technology that's distracting young people all the time. But then secondly, get young people a chance to reconnect with reality and real consequences and real challenges and let them live up to it. So the way we do that at Wyoming Catholic is not only do the students give up their cell phones, but we send them out as freshmen and on a 3-week backpacking trip where they're out there in the mountains. And the last week they're on their own getting out of the mountains back to the place where the van's going to pick them up. We put them out for another week in winter camping. We put them on horseback for a semester. We send them out on additional outdoor experiences over and over again, putting them in situations where they have to step up, where they have to lead, where they have to communicate. And where there's real consequences, real risks, real harm, and they have to deal with that. But I think in general, that's the kind of education that our young people need, an education where they're allowed to really stub their toes. They're allowed to make mistakes, allowed to learn from those mistakes, and allowed to step up and lead in the face of real challenges. So what you do at other places is hard. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, like certainly not every Catholic college it would be interesting to see if elementary schools could put kids out in the wilderness for a week. I don't know if that can be done. Can we look into that, Darren? Can you try that with your kids and see? We'll see how it goes. I suppose those are the methods that you use, but this is not a method specific thing you're saying. It's that if someone might use other methods, but the goal has to be the same, which is a student who's what, tougher?
Not just tougher, though I think tough is an important thing. I think the way we describe it most fundamentally is a student that is responding to the real. And the real includes two things, right? It includes real hardships, right? We live in a fallen world. But those hardships with real challenges are built in for us to respond to, for us to learn from, for us to engage in a divine plan to educate us and train us in virtue and a chance to journey through this fallen world back to ultimately with divine communion, as we'd say for Catholic education. So I think what we're trying to look for is how do we quit buffering ourselves or protecting ourselves from the real world that God's built to lead us back to Him. And Catholic education has to be committed to getting students back engaged with the real in some way.
Wow, that's an extraordinary thing, because I do think that that's what, I mean, when the parent says, go outside and play, I'm bored. Well, go out and play. I don't know what to do. Go out, you figure something out. I think that the parent actually has the same goal in mind that you have, that boredom is not going to kill you, that having to figure things out for yourself and explore the world, none of this is bad for you, even if it's uncomfortable, if what you've been doing is Mario Kart.
Exactly, right? In some way, when the church fathers talk about the moment Adam and Eve fall, they're in a garden that's perfectly proportioned to them. They fall, and they say they find themselves in the wilderness, which on the one hand is uncomfortable. It is not a perfectly tailored, comfortable place of delight that the Garden of Eden was. But on the other hand, that very discomfort is an educational way to teach them who they are and how they can restore their relationship with each other and with God. That's what every parent wants to do. They don't want their kids zoned out on Mario Kart. They want them to be out there really learning from experiences, really being tested, really having a chance to grow and respond to the reality around them.
We're talking about Catholic education with a very fine Catholic educator from Wyoming Catholic College. The president of Wyoming Catholic College, Kyle Washut, is our guest. We're delighted to have him here. If you'd like to ask him a question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I do want to ask you one thing, though. I don't want to go to the break without asking this, because it does seem to me that there is some negativity about young people, and I can see a person maybe misconstruing what you're saying as being negative towards them. I often feel like they're not the way they are because they made this world that they were raised in. It's because we made this world that they were raised in. We did this. And this idea of blaming young people because, I don't know, they don't have the right manners or they don't look you in the eye. You know, you hear all these things that insult the young rather than looking at them as the consequence of the world that they've been raised in.
Si, I think that is a really important point to note, right? That we have spent, as a society, spent considerable effort and considerable money to creating a system that insulates us from reality and has us really just focusing on paying lots of money to satisfy whatever desires are created by commercials. And then we're shocked when we find that as successful as we are, and we get more and more successful with that, when we have a generation that is really absorbed in all the advertising that we're putting on social media and on smartphones, and they're protected from any change in weather because we have perfectly climate-controlled rooms and perfectly comfortable advantages for food and drink and all the rest. And then we think, man, these kids really just don't know how to be tough. Well, we as a society have committed ourselves to protecting ourselves from the real world and have devoted ourselves to living in a fantasy world, which is what Facebook's really hoping we really double down on with Meta or the rest. And then when we look and see, hey, young people that are immersed in that, wow, it doesn't work out well. Our response needs to be not, wow, those kids are really messed up, but what do we do to protect ourselves from the sort of unfiltered consequences of the adult desires and the adult systems that have left our kids in this situation?
Wow. Kyle Washut is our guest, president of Wyoming Catholic College. Your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Right back with more discussion on Catholic education right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Bible in a Year with me, Father Mike Schmitz, is coming soon to Catholic Radio. Encounter God's voice and learn how to live life through the lens of Scripture with a new episode every day. I hope you'll join me as we discover how the story of salvation unfolds and how we fit into that story today.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, starting Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Is the number. Kyle Washut is our guest. He's the president of Wyoming Catholic College. Maybe just give us a minute or two. Give us the elevator view of Wyoming Catholic College. If somebody says, "What is Wyoming Catholic College?" You know, and what do you say?
I say Wyoming Catholic College is fundamentally devoted to gathering the young people of this generation in the wilderness to root them in reality and really teach them what they need to know for flourishing in this life and the next. That's what we're doing. And so we gather young people in the wilds of Wyoming. We immerse them in the outdoors. We fast from certain forms of communicative technology. And we undertake a rigorous liberal arts education so that our students can reflect on the meaning of the world around them that God's created, on their place in the tradition of the Catholic Church, and on their responsibility to share the message of the gospel with the wider world. That's what we're doing.
Wonderful. Just wonder. And how long have you been doing that? How long has the college been going out there?
We opened in 2007. Mm-hmm. We had our first students in 2007 and have been doing precisely these things, the cell phone fast, out in the wilderness, great books education from the beginning, in having small intensive groups in an intensive community, sharing this education as a real response is what we see as a real response to John Paul II's call for the new evangelization, equipping evangelists to go out and be able to witness to this wonderful truth of the gospel that is found written in the world around us and in our Catholic faith.
Well, you know, you talk about this life and the next, and I wonder, are you ever confronted by the parent? Because I know that Catholic elementary schools are confronted with this, which is the parent wants the Catholic school because they know Catholic schools are a good education. They know they're probably a safe place and they're a good education. And that's not exactly what a Catholic school is to be for. A Catholic school is not just a private school. Do you confront that?
We do a bit, though I think very often by the time there's a young person that wants to come to Wyoming Catholic, they're really responding to some kind of an inkling in their heart. They want to go out and do the radical thing in the wilderness, which means they're attracted in part to the call of the desert, the call of the wilderness for their growth in faith and their desire to grow more in their faith. But there's also people who come precisely because they know that engaging with the real and doing a rigorous liberal arts education just sets you up with good natural human virtues that will make you successful and happy in this life. And we end up with young people that come that want to do that and end up very often converting to the faith, which we're delighted with. But we also recognize that, look, the things we're talking about doing are just good, right? Being able to lead and communicate and think well is just something that's going to make you flourish just in day-to-day life. It also is what disposes you to the beatific vision, but it's just what makes you happy as a human.
And that's very Catholic. I must say that when you say it, and I love hearing you say it. It sounds like Catholicism. It's not an ethereal religion. It's not a religion that rejects nature or the body or the. What would you call it? You would say it's Catholic, I suppose, would be the word. That it involves all of that. That's part of what it means to be Catholic. Is that natural happiness is a good, not an evil. Natural virtue. These are all goods, and they're not disconnected from the supernatural.
Right. In fact, well, I think the Catholic faith is the most incarnational form, the fullest incarnational form of the message of Christianity. Letting us know that our Lord God became human and filled up the human experience with divine love, which means these earthy human experiences of playing in the dirt or having good conversations with friends or singing as you walk have been moments that God himself has touched as a human, as a man. And so Catholic education really is incarnational education. It's an education that's conforming ourselves to the incarnate Lord in his human journey to the heavenly realm.
A bunch of folks on the line for you. Can we take some calls?
Great.
All right, let's go to Bob in Oxnard, California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Bob, welcome. Go ahead with your question for President Kyle Washit of Wyoming Catholic University. Excuse me, college. Beg your pardon.
You kind of asked one of them, Cy, but let me zoom out from the very small sliver of Catholic education that is Wyoming Catholic College and go all the way out to, like, Catholic education for most Catholic schools, primary, secondary schools, and bigger colleges. I think the main problem, I'm going to see if your guest agrees with this, is that we are graduating people into an environment that is incredibly hostile, whether it's to the Catholic faith, whether from atheists, which is probably one of the main problems, but also, you know, I mean, 90% of this, you know, Catholic Answers, is a huge amount of it is devoted to educating people on what the real Catholic teachings are compared to, you know, what how they're mischaracterized, whether in culture or by evangelicals or others who, you know, misstate the Catholic faith. So we're losing tons of kids. I'm sure many people listening to this program are thinking about kids that are just like wolves, lambs to the slaughter. They don't know how to defend their faith. Mm. And here's my question to you. How do you find a way in, not Wyoming Catholic College, I mean, the much tougher thing of these bigger schools like Cy was referring to actually, how do you teach the harder sort of lessons about, like, here's our tougher to accept Catholic teachings, here's the rationale for them, and here's kind of the way you need to arm yourself to this disinformation campaign, whether on the existence of God or the Catholic faith. How do you do that in a way that we don't just lose all these kids when they get out into the culture?
Thank you, Bob.
Sure. That's a great question, Bob. Obviously, we're really privileged. We have a small group of students that we're able to work with intensely. You're asking, what do we do for the hundreds and thousands of kids that are out there in big Catholic U, Catholic legacy schools? What do we do to help them understand and think about the big questions of the faith? And I think the first thing that I want to stress is that the cultural failure we have means that there's a base level of apologetics that comes in at the experiential level, at the experience of authentic human communion, face-to-face conversation out there, again, in the real, that is really presupposed to the rational apologetics. And so when I think about what do we do for the larger group, I'm thinking, how do we get young people to have little experiences of authentic Christian communion that is attractive, that opens them to hearing the conversation? Now, we need to have both of those steps. I think you need to have both the experience and then you need to have the intellectual formation, because if you just feel like, oh, this is a fun social group and the intellectual formation is what I get at secular U, then that doesn't work. But I think if you jump to rational apologetics without some kind of experiential cultural component in the real, that's also a challenge. That's a very broad start to answer your question, but I'd say that's the thing we're trying to look for, is what are experiences, what are encounters that we can give those young people, whether that's weekend outdoor trips, whether that's missionary work that gets them out on a camping trip or something. I don't know necessarily, but I do think that the question about how we respond to them needs to begin at a experiential cultural level that builds up to an intellectual formation.
Bob, thank you very much for the question. It's interesting that you, from your perspective in Wyoming there, talk about going out in wilderness and all that. I can remember I had the great privilege of teaching in a Catholic boys high school, and it was very suburban. And one of the things that they loved was there was an urban retreat that they did where they would go into the city and they would spend a weekend serving people who lived on the street in the city, or meeting people who were struggling, with, say, mental health issues. And the boys loved it. They loved to. So it does seem to me, again, it's not that there's a way to get in touch with the real, but you might do that in a city. You might do that out in the wilderness.
I'd say that, we were inspired. Our founding was inspired by Dr. John Sr. when he was at the University of Kansas. And he started a program there which was precisely devoted to getting these suburban kids of the 70s at an average state university immersed in encounter with the real. That could be stargazing that happens at night. That could be a waltz lesson. And the evangelization that happened through that program, the Integrated Humanity Program in Kansas, where these kids learned poetry, had human communion, went out and looked at the stars, read a book. Those kids had incredible conversion rates. In fact, the Clear Creek Monastery was initially founded by people who converted to the Catholic faith through that program. So this is something that's very possible in an urban setting. I think what we're stressing at Wyoming is that experiential piece needs to be there in some way to underlie all the other apologetics work that we do.
Again, 888-3187-884 is the number. We'll go down to Dallas, Texas next. Carl is in Dallas, Texas, listening on 910 AM. Carl, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Kyle Washit, president of Wyoming Catholic College.
I'm a classical Catholic educator at the elementary level, and one of the things that I would like to ask our guest is one of the things that seems to be really different, and something that I need to stress, is a sense of purpose. I mean, our students are told that, there's billions and zillions of galaxies and we're just created by total accident, total fate. Technically we could say final cause has just been totally dropped off the radar. I'd like to hear what our guests would have to say about that.
Dr. Washington.
I think that's right, is that we live in a world that one of the phrases they'll be used for it is the disenchanted world, right? A world that has been drained of meaning. So that all the attempts are, when you think about nature, you think about the creation, you think of, as you said, this vast void that's littered with various random pieces of matter that occasionally do stuff. And I think really one of the things that I see consistently is that that's the kind of idea you can have in a laboratory or in an abstract setting, but that really being immersed in the real, there's a reason the denial of final cause seems to happen alongside the idea that we're going to study nature in abstraction in the laboratory.
I'd like to continue this conversation. We have to take a quick break. But Carl, hang on, because this is a great conversation. And I need somebody to explain final cause when we come back. The number is 888-318-7884. Talking about Catholic education with the president of Wyoming Catholic College. 888-318-7884. This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns to the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. Join special guests Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and an all-star lineup of speakers September 26th through 29th. Spend time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and our special guests right here in beautiful San Diego. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Is Orthodoxy an alternative to the Catholic Church? In a time of uncertainty for many Catholics, Orthodoxy can look like greener pastures. Answering Orthodoxy, the new book from Catholic Answers Press, explains why Catholics who are thinking of leaving need to think twice. There are important reasons to remain in the Catholic Church and convincing answers to Orthodox claims. Order your copy of Answering Orthodoxy today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, just having as fun a Monday as I can have, getting to talk now with the president of Wyoming Catholic College, where they'll teach you Plato, they'll teach you Aristotle, they'll teach you the fathers of the church and the gospels and all that, and they'll put you on a horse and they'll drop you out in the wilderness, and I don't know if they give you a compass or if you're allowed to have shoes. I'm not sure how they do this, but you got to find your way back to so they teach you the real stuff, in other words. And this is something, Kyle, that you it really comes out whenever you talk about this, is that our society is devoted to a kind of artificial existence. And for many people, I think the person across from them on the subway train is less real to them than the Netflix show they're going to watch when they get home. They're not, they don't want to talk to that person. They would like to not talk to that person so that they can just get home to their Netflix show, which is for them the real world. So I'm very struck by your commitment to this idea of we need to draw students back into the real world. Our caller caller right now, Carl from Dallas, with his question is, how does the sense of kind of purposelessness that is actually encouraged? I think it's moronic, this idea that the universe is big, therefore your life has no purpose. This is the stupidest idea, but it's sold as if this is the greatest wisdom in the world. How does restoring a sense of purpose fit into the Catholic education? And you were in the midst of a very insightful answer, and we had to go to the break.
Sure. So I was trying to say that one of the places where we see the denial of any sense of purpose, not that there aren't thinkers throughout history who have made attempts to deny purpose, but where that really takes off, the idea that there's no purpose for this, there's no reason this tree grows like this, is when we start studying or thinking about nature really only in the abstract. The moment you are actually in the mountains, surrounded by these awesome, dwarfing, gigantic vistas, on the one hand, you do feel small and insignificant. But on the other hand, the purpose that surrounds you, the way the flowers move to follow the sun, the way that the various animals come out in response to the sun setting and the sun rising, the way that the natural climate adapts, for you to say, look, all of this is just totally random, requires a kind of intellectual violence that I think few people who are really immersed in reality are capable of. Though when we are avatars behind social media, it's easy to trick ourselves that it's all a void or in rent.
Carl, first of all, I want to get your response, because you're an educator as well. If you'd like to make this a little discussion, that would be fine with me.
I really think that that's a very insightful response, Professor. I really think that, we do nature study. We'll go out and say, okay, nominate three things to have nature study, and then we put it, and then they sit there and draw it for a half an hour, and then intricacy. But, if we're in touch with the real world of beauty, truth, goodness, if we're actually in touch with something really real and we sense it as real, it takes an enormous amount of psychic energy to then believe that everything's random. So I think you're right on that. Somehow you have to have some kind of real experience that kind of puts the lie to this random thing. And in order to keep those two things separate, in order to keep it, kind of a practical atheism going, it's going to take half your human energy just to make that happen. So I think eventually it's going to break down.
Somebody did mention a final cause. Could somebody explain that before we go? The two of you had that in your conversation, but the idea that we no longer believe in final causes is the same as saying we no longer believe that things have a purpose.
Right. That we no longer think that in things, when the sunflower turns to follow the sun, you ask, why is it doing that? The tradition of the perennial philosophy would say, oh, it does that because it's actually following the sun for the purpose of receiving nutrition or various things. There's actually purpose built into that flower, as opposed to it's really random and I project purpose onto it because that's what I do. So we want to say final cause, we say nature has a meaning built into it.
Carl, thank you very much for the call. Our guest is Kyle Washit, president of Wyoming Catholic College, and you are a wonderful spokesperson for Catholic education. And I was telling you at the break, and I want to say it on the air, that recently I was scolded by a Catholic educator, or a couple Catholic educators up in Fargo, North Dakota, and the scolding was that I, as the host of this show, am sometimes too negative about Catholic education. And I took my scolding well. I think that they actually made a quite valid point. And the point being that sometimes we who are not actually engaged in the enterprise of Catholic education, we can look at the Georgetown universities of the world and we can be kind of derisive of it and say, well, Catholic education has lost its way. But that's not exactly true, is it? To kind of find these examples and kind of, I guess, turn the whole thing into a catastrophe because of some examples.
Right. In fact, I think it's important to stress that we are at the beginnings of what I think is a renaissance of Catholic education. Both new institutions like Wyoming Catholic College, like some of these other schools that have been started afresh or completely reformed to be centers of Catholicity, but also little pockets here and there, graduates from programs like ours, have gone back into legacy institutes of Catholic education and are working to reform them from the inside. And there's real places of brilliance and hope, which we would want to see. After 30, 40 years of trying to renew and save Catholic education and that long work that's been happening since its real major decline, it's great to see these moments of renewal and hope. And I think that there's both institutions that are dedicated to it, and then there's, like I said, places where people are going back to those institutions and working from the inside, institutions that maybe have lost their way a bit. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to fall into the temptation to think, because there's been a fight for the soul of Catholic education, the experiment of Catholic education is lost, or you should avoid Catholic education. Now, Catholic education is a vital, sacred, important work of mercy that the Church is committed to, and we should be fighting for it and rejoicing at all the places where we find it flourishing, either at wholesale institutions or in these pockets of resistance.
888-318-7884. At the parish school level, I think that that could sometimes maybe be turned into some financial support for those of us who are older and our children are no longer in those schools, because I do think part of the watering down of Catholic education is they have to go in search of students to fill those seats, and then what they end up with is having to satisfy the desires of non-Catholic audiences in order to make their schools viable. So there is an economic side to this that maybe some of us who maybe have big mouths about Catholic education should have big wallets when it comes to Catholic education and help them do what they do when they're doing it well.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd say in general, Renaissance moments in education depend on both willing workers in the field doing great things and incredible patrons supporting them. Like this is the moment. In the turn of the 19th century, when everyone was upset with the first wave of Protestant legacy schools, say Harvard and various others, when there were a number of plutocrats that thought, this is not actually living up to what we need for society, they founded and built their own schools. There were waves of Catholic missionaries who founded and built the Notre Dames and the St. Louis U's on the first time around. And so really, this is the moment, if we're at a moment of renaissance for Catholic education, this is the moment for the workers who can work in the field to throw themselves into it, the parents who can fight to throw themselves in, and those who want to support that endeavor as patrons. This is a time, and this is a fight for the future of our church. And so by all means, let's jump in and go for it.
If you'd like to speak with Kyle Washit, president of Wyoming Catholic College, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Well, how do we avoid the kind of value-added idea of Catholic education? Some people think, a Catholic education is a good school that also has religion class. You know, so do you see what I'm saying? That there's sometimes I think there's a misunderstanding about that. At its core, it's not the same thing as some other forms of education.
Yeah, and that I think comes from something true that we say in the Catholic education world. That we're teaching the truths about nature, and that those truths about nature can be known by people outside the church. And we say, all right, so we're doing that. We're teaching natural virtues. We're teaching Aristotle, or we're teaching Plato, or we're teaching science. Those are things that, you know, you don't require a theology degree to be able to penetrate. And so then the temptation is to think, oh, okay, therefore, the way though that goes together, the study of natural philosophy goes together with the study of revealed truth, is, as you said, the value added. Like, oh, I study the things that anyone could know by nature, and then we take religion class for the people that need the Holy Spirit to help on a certain couple of exclusive subjects. But again, that's just missing the idea of Catholic education fundamentally is incarnational. Fundamentally, we're following the incarnate Lord, where he reveals, as the Second Vatican Council says, the meaning of human nature to us and opens new vistas for human nature, what it really means to be human. And so the transformation of the Catholic faith transforms the entire human person. So we're doing things that are accessible by nature, practicing virtue, doing philosophy, but we're doing those under the image or inspired by the image of the incarnate Lord. And that really means that everything we do is infused with this vision of our Lord incarnate and deepens and integrates the education that we offer.
888-318-7884 is the number. We do have lines open. You are welcome to call. We're talking about Catholic education. I want to get back to the you said that Catholic education is a spiritual work of mercy. I want to find out what that means when we come back and also take more calls. 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Eight eight eight, 318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Honestly, when I hear you talk about Wyoming Catholic College and, you know, the kind of outdoor, in the world, in reality, with animals, with nature experience, I feel like, is there some way we could offer this to Catholics in other stages of life? You know, people that are not going to go to college, but, you know, there's a lot of kind of, I don't know if anime is the word or melancholy or just that we lose ourselves in this artificial world that we live in. I feel like maybe you should expand this out and like, hey, come and ride a horse for 3 months now that you're 40 and you can't figure out the purpose of your life anymore, you know, or now that you're 60 and you're thinking about your final years, you know, come visit with us here at Wyoming Catholic College.
Well, we don't have the specific 40 or 60 age group, but we do around 100 trips a year for people external to Wyoming Catholic College. That can include the postulants for the CFRs, that can include high schools, colleges, young adults. We haven't had it exclusively only a middle-aged group, but certainly that would be possible. We do family retreats out on the ranch. We do a guest ranch experience where they're able to ride horses as a family and do these experiences. This summer, we're rolling out a seminary formation program where we're bringing 12 seminarians out. They're doing the 3-week backpacking trip and doing this immersion in and the leadership skills. Yeah. So we are, in fact, thinking precisely along the lines you say, Cy. Core Expeditions is the outreach of Wyoming Catholic College, our Catholic Outdoor Renewal Expeditions. And we want to make this accessible and this renewal available. Sure, you could do it for 4 years. That's great. But even a taste of it for a week or a weekend can be pretty transformative.
I imagine it could because you do think that every era has struggles with depression and anxiety and mental illness and all that. But it does seem that, you know, we trigger these things and make them worse by this lack of content with God's creation, the lack of contact, I mean to say, with God's creation, that keeping people indoors and isolated is not a recipe for mental health.
Yeah, and the studies are all confirming that. We, in fact, are facing a mental health epidemic as described out there very far and wide. COVID made that very clear to us, right? Mm. When we close ourselves off from human communication and just rely on virtual interactions, we don't do well. Even if there's not the anxiety of whether there's a pandemic or not a pandemic overhead, just the anxiety about being cut off from real human contact and real communion with real creates a mental health problem. And so the more, again, that we can take a cell phone fast or go walking in the woods or have experiences of real authentic Christian community, the better off society is going to be. And if there's an institution that does that full time, great, but in some ways that institution is kind of like the monastery was in the Middle Ages. It's a model that lets it trickle out, that fullness of Christian life, trickle out into other ways of expressing it beyond just the small Wyoming Catholic college. Oh,
what a wonderful image. Justin is in Indiana. Justin, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for the president of Wyoming Catholic College, Kyle Washit.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the show and everything you guys do. So basically my question would be, when I'm teaching a class, in the past it's been generally eighth graders or freshmen, especially boys are really bad about having any kind of reverence in, you know, in church, and whenever we're trying to, you know, or when we're doing confession, we're trying to have ourselves get ready for sacraments of any kind. I quite often have boys that don't know how to act right, and I feel as though they're being disrespectful, but I don't know how to handle it in a way that would not just make them be more turned off to the idea of being reverent. I didn't know if you had any advice for how to handle that sort of situation.
Well, that's a great question. I feel it a great question, not only as the president of a Catholic college with young men, but as a father of two boys who are just turning the corner into adolescence. I feel like, yeah, that is precisely a great question. How do we inspire in our young men a sense of reverence and awe? And I do think that part of inspiring in them a sense of reverence and awe is reminding them of the bigness and the grandeur of God. William Wordsworth has this great poem about natural piety, about the heart leaping up when it beholds a rainbow in the sky. Or Gerard Manley Hopkins talks about God's grandeur shining out and shaking through the world. I think we do a disservice very often to our young men by not reminding them how giant and awesome the Lord is. And we do that, again, not to harp on anything, but if we're not immersed in the real, if we're not aware of how big and powerful the world is, then of course, all the less are we aware of how big and powerful the creator of that world is. I think that young men respond to piety by being aware of the grandeur of God.
Yeah, and that, boy, the natural world does that for them. Justin, is that helpful to you?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Christine wasn't able to stay on the line, but she asked this. I'm studying to be a liberal arts Catholic teacher. How can we balance being away from technology and acting as an Amish versus understanding the need for it? So the Amish are the constant example of the extreme we don't want to go to. The poor Amish. But you understand the question.
Absolutely yeah. Get it. So I think the way we talk about our relation to technology is we talk about it in terms of fasting. Now we have a robust sense of fasting in the Christian tradition, right? There's, mm-hmm. you know, a kind of intensive fasting you can do. But we're always thinking about it as a fast. And when we think about it in terms of a fast, we are saying that there's a way of using technology or anything else that we fast from that we as fallen human beings respond to and are tempted to misuse it or to abuse it or overuse it. And that's just the reality. And so what we need is some kind of technology fast that allows us to get that space in our lives. The other thing I think we want to remember is that smartphones are designed to be addictive and intuitive. If you give up a smartphone for a couple weeks or a couple months, it's not the case that you will have no idea how to navigate it and use it. It's hopefully you'll have been steeled with some of the deliberately addictive things that are built into those apps to sell you stuff, generally to sell you one of the seven deadly sins. But to sell you stuff, you'll have some habits for dealing with that. But I think we maybe oversell how hard it is to learn how to properly navigate the smartphone when we're trying to figure out how do we fast from it and learn how to use it well.
Christine, thank you very much for the question. Kyle Washit is our guest. He is the president of Wyoming Catholic College. You called Catholic education a spiritual work of mercy. Would you please tell me what that means?
much. So the church talks about the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. And when she lists the corporal works of mercy, those all come out of our Lord's words in the Gospel of Matthew: feeding the hungry, visiting the imprisoned, clothing the naked, doing those things where people are in need and you're responding to their physical needs. But there's also a way of extending that healing ministry of Christ, not just to the bodies of the people in need, but to the souls of the people in need. And the church talks about the spiritual works of mercy in that way, a way of extending Christ's redemptive mission and applying it to the particular souls in need. And we have that with admonishing the sinner or counseling the doubtful. But one of those that's listed is instructing the ignorant. And that's why the church, in her missionary zeal, when she goes out and evangelizes nations, she sets up schools. That part of the way of redeeming souls for Christ is redeeming them through education, is applying the salve of education to souls that are in the darkness of ignorance. And so we do it not because we often, I think, say that, oh, the reason the church does education in missionary lands is so people can get a job and they can get money and they can do those things. And I don't want to take away from that. But we don't want to say that, oh, this spiritual work of mercy, this way of responding to the need for education, is just actually a long way around of getting to a corporal work of mercy, helping the poor. It's actually a real human need to know the truth about reality. And so very often we see in the missionary zeal of the church, we preach the gospel and we set up schools. And so when we participate in teaching, it's one of the reasons we don't want to start bashing Catholic education as a lost cause. When we engage in the work of teaching, we are engaging in the missionary work of Christ in extending the knowledge of the gospel, the knowledge of reality to souls that are desperately in need of it.
It is a beautiful image, and it does, again, I feel chastised for if I have been too hard on Catholic education, because it is not something we can give up. It would be like saying you can't give up the teaching mission of the church. You can't give up on it. It's perennial. It must be there. But how much is the kind of professionalization of education, you know, with various accrediting boards and all of that, how much does that help? How much does that get in the way of what Catholic schools try to do?
So I think the initial goal of professionalizing education was a way of ensuring values and ensuring that everyone was living up to certain standards. But again, as we've hit over and over again in this conversation, we're fallen. And when we have a good, we tend to abuse it. And I think that's happened with various regulations and various bureaucratizing approaches to education. But I think it also necessarily happens when we professionalize what education is. We start to think the outcome is something extrinsic to the good of education. We start thinking, well, these kids will, you know, what's a successful grade school? It's a successful grade school if they get into a good middle school. What's a good middle school? It's a good middle school if they get into a good high school. It's a good high school if they get into a good college. It's a good college if they get into a good graduate program or get a good job. And then you realize that that's not an intrinsic way of explaining the good of education. In the end, the good of Christian education is it teaching them to be flourishing human beings? And professionalizing accreditation lingo is really bad at helping us evaluate that. But that is, in fact, the fundamental good that we're serving in Christian education.
Wyoming Catholic College. How can people find out more about Wyoming Catholic College? I know that many people will after having heard you speak.
So ironically, of course, the website is probably the best place to go. Right? Yeah. So go on our social media and look up our website and learn more about us at wyomingcatholic.edu. But I'd say, you know, with that, I think it's true. You can get some great information. But I will say the best and greatest way to come to know about Wyoming Catholic College is this experience to come out and visit the wilderness of Wyoming, to come out on an outdoor trip with Core Expeditions, coreexpeditions.org. Come visit us and come really find why we think God is renewing people in the wilderness.
Praise God. If you're a parent, you want your kids to know the gospel, to know their science and history, but also know how to fight off wolves, you ought to check out Wyoming Catholic College. Kyle Washett, it's just been such a gift for us to get to know you and to learn about what y'all are doing up there. Thank you so much for being our guest for the hour.
Thanks so much for having me, Si. It's been a delight.
All right, tomorrow we'll do this again, 2 hours, open forum. See you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.